4:09 on your Monday afternoon. You're listening to Focus Fox Valley, and on Mondays, we love it when Coach Tony stops by. It's time to get your lean on. Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Excellent.
Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, I really did. Yeah. We, as a family, my son just bought a boat, a Bennington Tri-Tune, pontoon. So we took the family out to stretches and watched EAA from the water.
How cool.
Yeah, and I got fried.
Well,
of course,
water
I forgot
would do
the sunscreen.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Should we do a show on the how?
Yeah. Absolutely.
The value of sunscreen?
Yeah.
That's a cool way to watch EAA, though.
It was really cool. I mean, you could see a lot of the planes coming over, and they know what's going on out at stretches, so they kind of make that loop.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, very cool.
I was out there last week, Monday and Tuesday, so right smack dab during the air show with my show, and just the things you see out there, it's just unbelievable.
Well, that's funny because one of my clients actually ran into you. Did they say something?
No, they not.
Yeah.
Oh, how
funny.
Yeah,
they noticed you, yeah.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's great to hear.
Yep.
Well, you had a good weekend. It's Monday. I don't know, but I had my daughter's birthday party yesterday, and I ate a whole bunch of bad food. So I'm ready to get inspired again.
You ready to get your lean on?
Get my lean on again to detox after a weekend of not so healthy choices.
Well, good, because, you know, what we're going to talk about today is going to help a lot of people, because we hear the word a lot. Right? We hear macros a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We hear people talk about it, but a lot of people go, well, I hear macros, or I see people talking about macros, or I'm watching my macros, but most people go, I really don't know what they mean by that. So are you in that camp as well?
I am. And you sent me this topic, and a light bulb went off in my head because I follow a lot of different people on blogs or on Instagram, and many of them in the health and fitness world, and they talk about this a lot. Oh, I'm going to log my macros today, or this fits into my macros for the day, or I have this app that lets me put in my macros. And I've heard the term, but I don't exactly know what they're implying, what they're talking about.
Yeah, I think this is a good shift to get people to understand, like most people that really don't know about macros, or my world, macronutrients, are still stuck on the calorie thing. So they might use a fitness app or something like MyFitnessPal, and they'll punch in their calories and they'll watch their calories. But going one step further in really dividing those macronutrients is going to sway where the calories actually come from. And I talk about this a lot. It's not the amount of calories, it's where they come from that count. So this will help people understand where what macros are and how important they actually are to the body.
What kind of person would be the ideal candidate for using macronutrients, or are you going to get into that?
Everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody should know the basics of macronutrients, what they are, what's derived from macronutrients, and in what portions they should be. Now, I'm not going to really go into the portion thing because I really want to teach people what macronutrients are to the body, and why we need some of them, and why some of them are a little fluffy. So, you know, after that, then if they want more information, they can always contact me at getyourleanon.com or email me at tony@getyourleanon if they want a more structured plan on how to base their macronutrient divisions. I can definitely help them out with that. But they first need to know the basis behind what a macronutrient actually is.
And of course, if you are listening and you have a question, give us a call on the Settlers Bank phone lines, 281-1150 in Appleton, or our Metro line, 1-866-887-1150 in Oshkosh and outside of Appleton on the TDS Metrocom toll-free line. If you have any questions in regards to macronutrients or a question for Tony, ask away.
Absolutely.
All right, dive on in, Tony. I'm interested
All right.
to learn.
Yeah, no, it's great. So the calories that we consume from the foods in our diets are categorized into three basic macronutrients, depending on how they're metabolized and the purposes they serve for our body after they're digested, okay? They are proteins, carbohydrates, and fats. Now, these three macronutrients are where we get all of our micronutrients, meaning vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and phytochemicals. These are where all of those are derived. So each of these three macronutrients, proteins, fats, and carbs, have a distinct role in the body when it comes to optimal optimally regulating weight, hormones, immunity, growth, repair, maintenance, and development of the body. So they all have specific roles for the body. So I'm going to break these each down into their separate categories and explain what they are as far as what they do for the body. The first one we're going to go into is protein. So a lot of people don't really realize how important protein is as a macronutrient. It's an essential and vital macronutrient. So protein is incredibly important for the body. In fact, it's the most crucial element in helping retain and maintain a healthy body composition, meaning how much muscle versus how much fat we carry. In fact, except for water, Haley, except for water, protein is the most abundant substance needed by the body. So we can't live very long without water. So we understand now how important and how essential protein is in the body. Because the body is in a constant state of flux, continually breaking down and rebuilding our own tissue, we need to consume enough protein on a daily basis in order to aid these processes and make the repair of our muscles, tendons, organs, skin, as well as enzymes, hormones, neurotransmitters, and important body chemicals. So protein is what we call the main building block of the body. And it contains 4 calories for every gram. And it's also the hardest of the 3 macronutrients for your body to disassemble and process, therefore making it the most metabolically stimulating, meaning it's 5 times more metabolically stimulating than fat or carbohydrates. So it naturally raises your metabolism just by eating it. Make sense to you?
That does make sense. Yes.
So now protein, when you break it down, is made up of smaller compounds called amino acids. And they're divided into 3 different groups. Now, most nutritionists or most gym enthusiasts would probably only talk about 2. Because most of them probably don't even know that there's actually a 3rd subset of these amino acids, or they just overlook it. So the groups are essential, non-essential, and conditional. Now, most people would just know about essential and non-essential, and I'll explain what these are. So essential amino acids are amino acids that are need to be taken in from an outside source because your body cannot manufacture them internally. So we have to take them in through food. Okay?
All right. We're going to get back to more on that in just a few moments. We're going to take a quick break and return with more info, on macronutrients with Coach Tony in just a few moments. You're listening to Focus Fox. It's 4:20 on your Monday afternoon. Once again, you're listening to Focus Fox Valley. It's time to get your lean on with Coach Tony. A little Guns N' Roses.
I'm headbanging it over
there
here.
There you go.
I love it.
Excellent. Love to hear that. So we're talking macronutrients.
Yes.
Or macros.
Macros, as most people would say it. My world, macronutrients.
We like to just, simplify things a little bit around here.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Absolutely. So we went through and we started talking about the 1st macronutrient, which was protein, why it's so important. We went through what protein is broken down to, amino acids, and there's 3 different amino acids. We have the essential, non-essential, and conditional, which most only talk about the 2, and I'll get to that. But so essential amino acids, again, cannot be manufactured internally by the body, so we need to take them in through our food. It's very essential. Otherwise, our body will actually break down and will wither away. Non-essential amino acids, on the other hand, are actually synthesized in the body itself. And what this means is the body can simply or is capable of creating them on their own. Therefore, it's not necessary to obtain them from an outside source. The 3rd one that most people don't talk about are conditional amino acids. And these are usually not essential, so your body can manufacture them, except in times when you get really sick, you're ill, or you're really stressed out. that's when you need to take extra ones in so you can cover your illness. It'll help you heal better.
Cover your body, so, your body's natural way of saying, hey,
yes,
slow down a bit.
Absolutely. So a lot of people don't talk about them or even know they exist, but they are out there.
I didn't know that they existed myself.
So all animal proteins are complete, meaning they provide all the essential amino acids, even the essential ones you need to take in from your food, in the right ratios so your body can utilize them efficiently. Now, if you're eating animal products like red meat, chicken, turkey, pork, fish, seafood, and eggs every single day, because you have to replenish every day, you're probably doing a pretty well job of getting enough protein intake. On the other hand, if you're a vegetarian, and I got to bring this up because, you know, I mean, there's people out there that just won't eat meat. And that's fine, whatever they choose. Complete proteins can be obtained through certain plant sources such as soy, quinoa, buckwheat, spirulina, amaranth, or by pairing like things like beans and rice or legumes and seeds or nut butter and whole grain products. You pair those and they make complete proteins together. And they don't necessarily even have to be eaten in the same meal, just in the same day.
It's nice to know there are alternatives out there too, because as a meat eater myself, sometimes you necessarily don't want to have a meat protein in your meal. So it's nice to know there are alternatives.
Yeah, there definitely are. Sure. So the four major benefits of getting adequate protein intake is so critically important. And I think we really underestimate the value of a good protein-based diet. It helps increase and preserve your lean muscle tissue. And again, lean muscle tissue is metabolically active, so the more you have, the more calories you can burn through naturally. It also increases your metabolism naturally, so it'll uptick your metabolism. It helps fill you up and keep you full longer, so it's got a very satiating value. So you'll naturally eat less calories throughout the day. So again, it's not the calories, it's where they come from that are going to dictate what, when, and how much you're going to eat every single day, you know?
Yeah.
And it's proven to lower the risk of chronic and metabolic health issues, especially as we age. And this is the problem. When people age, they tend to eat less protein and they end up getting things like, they end up sarcopenic. So they're basically skinny fat. They end up with osteoporosis and all this. And all these things can be scathed by just taking in more protein products. So that's the first one, protein.
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 Wonderful. And you have the second one on here, which is fats. But when you hear that word, term, fats, I think you immediately think, oh, fat is bad. Fats are bad.
Right.
Not a good thing.
We'll go, let's cover carbohydrates first, because I think this is kind of
a fats for last.
Sticky subject. And fats, because fats have a lot of dynamic to them.
Okay.
So we'll kind of fathom people with fats later, so we can end up kind of, you know, it's very complex. So.
Okay. So carbohydrates.
So carbohydrates, just like protein, carbohydrates have 4 calories per gram, and fat is the most calorie dense, and we'll get to that. And carbohydrates are usually broken up into 2 different subgroups, complex and simple. Now, these categories are based on the chemical structure that reflects how quickly these carbohydrates are digested and absorbed into the system. However, the 2 categories can be separated into 3 different classifications. Again, I'm broadening this out because most people look at just simple and complex, and you can actually take this a step further. So there's actually 3 groups within those 2 groups that make sense. Sugar, like added sugars, like cereal, pastas, pastries, cookies, pop, and fruit juice. That's one type of carbohydrate that would be considered a simple carb. Starches, like sweet potatoes, quinoa, long grain rice, barley, and buckwheat, Those are starches. Those are another division. And the third division in the simple and complex is fiber, which we overlook extremely because it's indigestible to the human body. But things that give you high fiber and very low glycemic, so they don't spike blood sugar levels, are things like avocados, artichokes, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, black beans, chickpeas, and nuts and seeds. They're all fantastic high fiber foods that we need to put into our diet every day. So there's a lot of confusion with carbs. One of the main reasons why carbs are seem so confusing in regards to the fact that they're broken into two subgroups is, like fat, most people take carbohydrates and they lump them all into one big category. It's just carbs. So we go back to the calorie math equation that I talk about so regularly rather than the macronutrients and go, fats are just fats, carbs are just carbs, proteins are just proteins, and it's not the way it works. The human body doesn't see it the same way that we do. So the way that carbs are normally classified, again, are complex, refers to, say, good carbs. Most people would say complex carbs are good carbs, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And simple carbs are bad carbs. But this definition is kind of misleading, actually. While some starches like sweet potatoes, again, quinoa, legumes, provide fiber and many health benefits, other starches like refined flour, crackers, wraps, and pasta are associated with rapid blood spikes in blood sugar and hormonal imbalances that lead to a host of metabolic and chronic issues. So I think it's more appropriate to define complex and simple carbs in these terms. Complex carbs are carb-containing foods that are in their whole unprocessed form. Foods in this category include fruit, and I mean whole fruit, not fruit juices, vegetables, and legumes, super high fiber stuff. Simple carbs can be categorized as sugars and starches that have been refined and stripped of their natural fiber and nutrients like breads, cereals, and pastas. All of those things, because of the way they're refined, enter the bloodstream really quickly, just like regular table sugar, spike blood sugar level, and the faster your blood sugar level is spiked and the higher it goes, the faster those calories can be converted to body fat. So you want to have fiber with your stuff, with your carbohydrates, so you slow down the digestion process and help stabilize blood sugar levels. It comes down to that. It's that really that simple.
It makes sense, even though those are the things that a lot of us like to indulge in from time
Absolutely.
To time.
But they don't have to. You can divert over in just one little sidestep to the right or the left and pick the same product that's actually healthy. Just people don't know how to do it. And I brought that up in my last show. You were on vacation.
I was on vacation.
It called the Dirty Little Secrets Hidden Within Our Foods in our food labels, and it really broke those down. So it really helped people realize that they have to look at the ingredients on the food labels, not just the calories and the fat. It's super important.
A wonderful conversation we're having with Coach Tony this afternoon. We're talking about macronutrients. If you have a question for what Tony is talking about, give us a call on the Settlers Bank phone lines. 281-1150. We're going to take a quick break, but we're going to come back and cover more of the carbohydrates and get into fats in our second half hour with Coach Tony. So stay with us. You're listening to Focus Fox Valley here on WHBY. You're listening to Focus Fox Valley. It's Get Your Lean On with Coach Tony on your Monday afternoon. We're talking macros.
We're talking macros, and you're just pulling out all the good tunes.
I had to Google good 80s rock songs.
Awesome.
It's a little before my time, but.
Oh, way to rub that one in.
But good music nonetheless.
It really is. It never goes away.
It really doesn't. No. So you were saying during the break that you've got, you're ready to
Well, you know,
ready to go.
I'm going to, you know, I think I appropriately define carbohydrates in the simple and complex forms and the way we should look at them. So I'm trying to reformat people on how they view things. Mm-hmm. View them right. You know, I'm really just trying to educate people so they start to make better choices. So I'm going to give people some carbs that they should eat, try to put into their diet, and carbs that they should avoid that are going to create major hormonal disruption and weight gain. But on the flip side of that, I want to make sure that everybody knows, out of the three macronutrients that we have, and what are they again, Hallie?
Proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. Absolutely.
Carbohydrates are the only macronutrient that is not essential, inessential nutrient to the human body. Meaning we don't actually have to eat carbohydrates to survive, because our body has a cunning ability to take amino acids and fatty acids and convert them into glucose and ketone bodies to supply all our body's energy from. So basing 60% of our diet on carbohydrates is absolutely wrong, and people need to understand that. It's the reason why we're heavier and sicker than we've ever been.
Interesting.
I'm not advocating a zero carbohydrate diet.
Sure.
I mean, if you want to go ketogenic, fine. I mean, you know, it's a great way to strip body fat. It's very therapeutic, but I mean, there's room for carbohydrates in your diet. They just have to be the right types of carbs. So I'm going to tell people or advise people on what to look for and what to sidestep.
A great point. And we are going to also open up those Settlers Bank phone lines, 281-1150, if you've got a question for Tony. All right, let's dive on in.
So, you know, we got to take the healthiest version, so the most unprocessed forms of carbohydrates possible. So we can get these unprocessed forms from whole grains, whole unprocessed like oats, quinoa, barley, amaranth, brown rice, and wild rice. Now, we can also get good carbohydrates, and these are high-fiber carbohydrates, from lentils, black beans, kidney beans, black-eyed peas, things like that. Vegetables like sweet potatoes, broccoli, green beans, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, asparagus, fruit, whole fruit, from things like apples, pears. These are lower glycemic fruits. Oranges, berries, the more skin-to-meat ratio, the better. And grapefruit. And nuts and seeds like almonds, walnuts, pecans, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, flax seeds, chai seeds. All of these are great carbohydrates because they are coming along with a bunch of fiber, which the body needs. On the flip side, here's the ones that you want to sidestep or should either eliminate or minimalize in your diet at the very least. Sugary beverages right off the bat. Get rid of soda, sweet tea, sport drinks, and fruit juices. None of them are good for you, especially as we age. They spike blood sugar level, and they end up putting us in hormonal disruption. They end up making us gain weight, and they end up making us end up type 2 diabetic. Desserts and snack foods like donuts, cakes, cookies, chips, pretzels, and candy. Those should be treats every once in a while. They shouldn't be gobbled down on a daily basis. Don't think that a pretzel, because it's low fat or no fat, is any better for you than table sugar, because it's not. It's a refined carbohydrate. Commercial breads like white bread and wheat bread, if it doesn't have 3 grams of fiber or more per serving or whole grain ingredient first, it's exactly to your body like table sugar. Even though we don't look at it the same way, that's how the body views it. So we have to start looking at our food in a biological manner rather than a calorie math equation. And I talk about this a lot, but until people understand it, not how many calories, where they come from, it's going to be a game changer for you. Things like pasta also, these are all refined, come from refined flours, and they spike blood sugar level and they raise blood sugars super high, and they can be converted to body fat very, very quickly. So that's carbohydrates.
I'm almost wishing that I had joined you on your show 2 weeks ago about labels and checking and reading your labels, because I feel like this kind of goes hand in hand with that conversation you had last week. And if you missed it, it's up on our podcast page on WHBY.com. But
You know, the really cool thing, Hallie, is I'm also taking that whole thing. I've got a new ebook coming out that is going to break that down so people can go to my website and download it. It'll be called the same thing, Dirty Little Secrets Hidden Within Our Food Labels. Mm. And it should be available within the next probably 3 weeks. Got my designer laying it out right now. It's so important because we need to really understand how food labels are manipulated and how we need what we need to look at on a food label. We look at calories and fat,
sure,
but we're not looking at the ingredients, and that's what's causing hormonal disruption. So,
well, we have one more of these macronutrients to talk about. It's fats. And before we dive into fats, I'm going to have us take a quick break.
Sure.
And if you have a question for Tony, again, 281-1150, the number on the Settlers Bank phone lines. We're talking macronutrients. Some great conversation. We just covered proteins, just covered carbohydrates. Great list from Tony on what's good and what's bad. And we're going to cover fats next on Get Your Lean On. So stay tuned. More with Coach Tony coming up right here on Focus Fox Valley. .446 on Focus Fox Valley. We don't want anyone to beat it. We want you to listen to this conversation on macros.
Absolutely. You had to throw a little King of Pop in there. I like that.
I like Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? So good. Yeah, it's good stuff. Makes you want to dance a little bit. It's a toe tapper, for sure.
So,
now that we're distracted by some good music.
Right?
We got one more
category
to discuss.
Yeah, we got one more Mac to go through fat. And so I'm going to just get right into this because we don't want to run out of time and we want to give the listeners everything possible, all the tools we can to help them, push them in the direction of better health.
I like the way you put that. That's good.
So despite what most people believe, fat actually doesn't make you fat. And it's not the fat that makes you fat when you have fat. It's the carbohydrates that go along with the fat that actually make you fat. So unlike carbs, which aren't essential, which I just explained before, right? They're not an essential nutrient to the body. Fats are necessary and essential part of our diet and also capable of helping with weight loss, weight management, and disease prevention. Fat is huge. And I can't believe how fat was demonized. We'll talk about that. Fat is the most dense macronutrient of the three, meaning it's 9 calories per gram, twice as many calories per gram as both carbohydrates and fat. But it's also a very efficient source of energy for the body. And I'll explain that. So, in fact, saturated fat, which everybody's afraid of because they look at saturated fat as McDonald's. That's bad. They don't look at saturated fat in the natural form. And monounsaturated fat, which are called MUFAs, are actually the preferred fuel choice by a metabolically healthy human. So years and years and years ago, we were getting our energy from saturated fat. We weren't getting them from grains. So, in addition to fat being a great energy source, it also helps in the absorption of the very important fat-soluble vitamins A, D, E, and K, and maintaining our core body temperature. Very, very important. Now, although most people lump fats in one single category, just like carbohydrates, right, there's actually 4 basic groups of fats. They're monounsaturated fat, or what some people call MUFAs, polyunsaturated fat, and these can be subdivided into 2 groups, omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids, saturated fats, and trans fats. I'm going to break each one of these down and tell people where to focus and where to steer clear of, okay?
We love that.
So monounsaturated fat, or MUFAs, seem to be the only fat that people, even in the fat-phobic camp, would agree that, oh, that's a healthy fat, right? So MUFAs are actually non-toxic to the body, even in high doses, making them extremely appealing for both cooking and eating. They're great for either one. In fact, research shows that diets that are high in monounsaturated fat have a host of amazing health benefits, including the reduction of cholesterol naturally, and I'm going to keep doing that natural, lowering the risk of heart disease naturally, helping with weight loss automatically, and helping reduce belly fat automatically and naturally. So consuming monounsaturated fats from things like olive oil, macadamia nuts and macadamia oil, avocados, avocado oil, almonds, cashews, pecans, believe it or not, rendered pork lard and beef tallow and grass-fed beef are all great, great picks for monounsaturated fat.
So pork rinds are okay?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not pork rinds. Rendered pork lard. That's completely different.
Just wanted to clarify. Right.
So the next group is the polyunsaturated fats, or what some people would call PUFAs. Now, these basically can be subdivided into two groups, like I said, omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids. Now, although both polyunsaturated fats are essential, meaning they're needed by the body to survive, but they can't be manufactured internally, so they must be taken in through your diet, we need to understand the relationship or the balancing act required in order to keep us from in order to keep the polyunsaturated fats from becoming toxic to the body. So omega-6 fatty acids are very pro-inflammatory, which is necessary for required proper body healing. Inflammation, it helps heal, okay? That's necessary action. Omega-3s, on the other hand, are highly anti-inflammatory, which keeps unnecessary inflammation in check. Now, while both of them are necessary for optimal health and healing, they need to be consumed in a certain ratio in order to receive the benefits that are needed from them. So here's how we can do this. First step toward achieving optimal fatty acid ratios is, of course, by consuming more whole foods that are rich in the beneficial omega-3 fatty acids, because we're basically deficient in them and we consume way more omega-6 fatty acids, which are pro-inflammatory, than omega-3 fatty acids. So you consuming things like fatty fish like mackerel, salmon, tuna, sardines, and other seafood is a great way to up your omega-3 fatty acids. Grass-fed animal products like butter, eggs, and meat also contain high amounts of omega-3s. Notice how I said grass-fed.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, a good fish oil supplement would be an excellent way to up your omega-3s. Now, if you're confused on, you know, omega-3s or fish oils, go to my website and go to the search, the little search thing, and go and punch in there my article called "What's the Hook on Fish Oil?" And I break down in there why omega-3s are so important and what to look for when you're buying an omega-3 and how much you actually need based on your body weight. So I break it all down for people.
Interesting.
Very good article for people to read.
That's got to be very helpful for folks who don't know where to start.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, on the other hand, again, for vegetarians, because I want to keep everybody intact here and I want to help everybody, plant sources of omega-3 fatty acids can be found in things like leafy green vegetables, flax and chai seeds, legumes, and cruciferous vegetables. Very important. If they're not going to be taking in those animal products or fish products, they need to be taking in these things. So consuming, on the flip side, to rebalance this ratio, consuming fewer omega-6s is a great place to start as well. So raising your omega-3s and eating fewer omega-6s. So the easiest way to reduce the intake of omega-3 fatty acids is by avoiding consuming processed industrialized vegetable or seed oils that are rich in it. The worst offenders of this category are sunflower oil, safflower oil, corn oil, soybean oil, and cottonseed oil. And I'll tell you, if you're looking again for something that will help you, I have a book, a PDF of the best and the worst fats to eat and the smoke point, which is very important, the ones that are going to create hormonal disruption and create inflammation, and the ones that you should look at by eating. So go to my website and look for that as well. Now we're going to get into the saturated fats. This is where people are afraid. So I'm sure that what I'm going to unravel here may surprise a lot of the listeners. Because we've been repeatedly told that saturated fat is just unhealthy. I mean, for the last 50 years, saturated fat has been demonized as the artery-clogging, obesity-causing poison, right?
Yeah.
Don't eat saturated fat. It's bad. And this widely accepted misconception has pushed a lot of people away from the healthful foods that I grew up on in the 60s and 70s, knowing how old I am now, like whole eggs, butter, pork, and red meat. People are afraid to eat it because it's full of saturated fat. However, the truth is that humans have been eating unsaturated fat for our entire existence with no problem. So we've just had it wrong, people. We've honestly just had it wrong. So unlike polyunsaturated fats, saturated fats, the natural occurring unprocessed or minimally processed versions actually have no toxicity level to the body, even in high doses. Now, remember what I said about the minimally processed or natural occurring coming from, you know, the cuts of meat that are straight off, you know, whatever, your chicken or turkey or red meat. Those are all natural occurring healthy saturated fats that the body loves. And what this tells us actually is that saturated fats are more easily converted to energy than polyunsaturated fats without leaving any harsh or toxic byproducts. So saturated fats are actually healthier than our polyunsaturated fat friends.
Wow. Did we get through most of it?
We got through most of it. We're not going to make it through all of it, but if we got we're pretty much out of time.
We unfortunately are running out of time.
So, you know what?
Here's a final thought for today?
I do have a final thought. Saturated fats, eat the minimally processed, unprocessed. Shoot for MUFAs, monounsaturated fat. Up your omega-3 fatty acid ratios in your body and stay away from trans fats, which I didn't get to, but they are bad. So what you want to look for on your label when you're buying foods and you look for trans fats is anything that has hydrogenated, fully hydrogenated, partially hydrogenated, or shortening in the list, put it back on the shelf. There's trans fats in it, even if it says zero trans fats, which goes back to my last show last week.
Which, of course, you can find at WHBY.com. Coach Tony, thank you again for your insight, for your advice, for your expertise. Helping us get our lean on.
Absolutely. I'm glad that I could come in. Everybody, go to my website, getyourleanon.com.
Wonderful. Coach Tony, we'll be back again next Monday. And hope everyone has a wonderful night. We'll catch you next time.